Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, I'm pumped tonight. It's a great night of soccer talk here. I can't wait to get into it with you. Let's do this, Houston. Let's do this around the country for those listening in on the internet highway. As always, Tyler Scott behind the glass, Victor Ariza in studio. A lot to talk about, a lot of excitement in the air. Boy, what a day to talk soccer. Locally here in Houston, semifinals, Western Conference. We'll call it the Western Conference Final. It's coming up. Dynamo Seattle. We're going to get into that tonight. Italian hearts broken. We've had a lot of World Cup qualifying playoff matches settled. One to go. Tonight it will be Peru and New Zealand. That is in Peru. But last night, Los Catrachos getting eliminated by the Socceroos of Australia, 3-1, 0-0 at halftime. Pretty remarkable. I did wake up in the middle of the night. I knew that game was on at 3, and my brain goes off. It's 2:55, and I wake up. I didn't intend to watch it until the morning. I had a lot of interest in seeing how Ramel Kyoto and Albert Elise would do. Second half, it's a free kick and two penalties. It ends up 3-1. Elise scores in stoppage time. I kind of feel sad for the big Honduran population here in Houston. And it's also going to lead into some interesting thoughts about how Albert Elise and Ramel Kyoto will be, from a mental standpoint, getting rebooted to take on Seattle in the Western Conference Final. So sadly, Los Catrachos are out. United States youngsters bring a small step and some fresh hope to the U.S. against Portugal, a 1-1 draw. And all of a sudden, you see Bruce Arena on TV, and I was like, man, somebody get me a garlic necklace or a crucifix or something. I'm not ready to see Bruce right now. I'm sorry. As much as I appreciate what he's done for U.S. soccer, I didn't really understand and get all that. I understood it from the Fox perspective. We'll talk a little bit about that, but Bruce did cross over to the dark side to join us on television. It was pretty interesting. We'll talk about that tonight. North London Derby this weekend. Arsenal and Spurs. We'll talk player development in the United States. We'll get your thoughts. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. We are on Facebook Live, and I think Tyler's going to get that going on the station's Facebook Live. I think we need to send a message to the Houston Dynamo to get it on there as well, because Dynamo assistant coach Davey Arno will be in studio here tonight. Also, Eddie Robinson will join me in the second hour. There is a lot to talk about. So Bruce Arena on Fox, what did you think about that? Was it too early to check in with Bruce on U.S. soccer? Do we need a little bit of a break? It was refreshing to see some of these young guys stepping up to the moment of playing in Portugal. Dave Sarakin, the interim coach, saw good performances from Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, who scored the goal. But, man, it was refreshing. It was nice. And you got 5 years till the next World Cup. So a lot of things from the acceleration of player development standpoint, putting players in difficult situations and environment, there is that opportunity. There's also an opportunity, I believe, if you want to move the needle on playing style. while nurturing a lot of these new young talents from the under 20 and under 17 national team, you can move the needle now because time is a beautiful thing. So I'm taking the optimistic approach, but there are a lot of questions that have to be asked in this country around player development and what the future is. How do we get some consistency with all these differing groups that have all the answers? How do we reach out to some of those that don't have a voice, that have a lot of tremendous ideas and need to be heard? That's going to be very interesting. So player development on the topic tonight. Player Tribune, Christian Pulisic's article. I posted it over on Facebook Soccer Matters. It's been all the rage and all the talk. It is phenomenal. And it is refreshing. And Pulisic, as a 19-year-old, is really leading the way, I think, when it comes to handling the media and being insightful and thoughtful. Number of players got really shaken up by Alexi Lalas. I didn't get that. I didn't see the need for anybody, including Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore, to even react. I just didn't get it. You know, I want my captain to look like Gianluigi Buffon, belting out the national anthem, speaking passionately about his team, doing everything possible. And I'm not saying that Michael Bradley doesn't do that and some of the guys on the national team. And it's not a bag on the national team, but it was an epic fail, and we do know that. It was an epic fail in leadership. What's interesting to me is some of that has carried over. Toronto FC, at the worst time possible, has lost emotional control. Jozy Altidore's situation is not going to be reversed. I didn't ever think it would be, based on the national team not qualifying for the World Cup. If they overturned that, I think there would be a mutiny in this country. And frankly, it doesn't deserve to be overturned. If you watch that game closely, Jozy was on an emotional control watch in that game. Michael Bradley was getting and wagging his finger in everybody's face. They did not look connected. They did not look emotionally connected. They looked like they lost emotional control. Javinko, we're going to throw him in there too. That's the big three. That's your three moneymakers who are supposed to be your leaders. Now, without Javinko, without Altidore, Toronto FC's got a wonderful team. It's deep. Victor Vasquez signing, remarkable, great signing. Columbus has got to be smelling blood. Hashtag save the crew. They got to be smelling blood. I'm predicting an upset. I'm predicting a Houston-Columbus MLS Cup final. Anybody agree or disagree with me? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. So at the most fateful time that you could ever pull off the mistake of losing emotional control, Toronto FC did that. It was embarrassing. It really was embarrassing. And, you know, of course, TFC is going to want to paint the picture that it was New York. They were the instigators. Come on. You didn't think New York and Jesse Marsh were going to come in and try and lay a little leather on you and try and tweak you emotionally? Come on. I mean, let's own up to this stuff. I just want us to be more transparent. Let's own up to it. So Columbus has got a great shot. The Dynamo have a great shot against Seattle because everybody has anointed Seattle the favorite over the Dynamo, I guess because they draw 50,000 people. And if that's the criteria you're going by, guess what? Yeah, well, then you're right. Or if you're going on how much money's spent, then you're also right. I'm talking about on the field. Yeah, I got it. Portland didn't have a lot of their players. Sorry, Portland. Still got to go in and win. Okay? It was only the second win on the road for the Houston Dynamo. They've done it on the collective defending. And I actually think they may be a little bit predictable now with Elise and Kyoto, just like Australia knew last night with Honduras. 713-780-3776 is the number. So, are the Sounders really the favorites against the Dynamo and why? And by the way, sellout, sellout, sellout. That's all I'm hearing. Now, will there be hashtag butts and seats? What do you think is going to happen next Tuesday night? Will we see people in seats? or is it going to be, hey, we got a sellout and the place is half empty? I don't think it's going to be half empty. I think there's going to be some bandwagoners, and you know what? So what? Why is everybody bashing a bandwagoner? Maybe we can turn a bandwagoner into a fan. I was a bandwagoner with the Astros. You know why? Because I connected with the passion and the emotion and the honesty of those players and their talent. 713-780-3776 is a number. Christian Pulisic, here's one of his quotes. So he talks about his ability at dual citizenship. So he's allowed to go to Europe at 16, and he does again remind us that between 16 and 18 is vital to be put in a man's environment. He goes, without the dual citizenship, he would not have been able to go to the Dortmund Academy. I would have had to have waited until I'm 18. He says, and for a soccer player, man, ask anyone, they'll tell you. Those age 16 to 18 years are everything. From a developmental perspective, it's almost like the sweet spot. It's the age where a player's growth and skill sort of intersect in just the right way. And where, with the right direction, a player can make their biggest leap in development by far. Think about that. Pretty heady words. So in this, he's got a Croatian passport as well. He then goes on to talk about the U.S. system. And too often the best players on an under-17 team is going to be treated like a star, not having to work for the ball, being the focus of where everyone has been the best player. And everyone is fighting for a spot week in and week out, which makes the intensity and humility that you need, humility, he mentions, that you need to bring to the field every day, both from a mental and physical perspective, just like anything that you can really experience in U.S. developmental soccer. So we have a community sometimes that's kowtowing to teenagers. Because guess what? The club doesn't want the kid to leave. You know, it's all stuff you know. They don't want the kid to leave because we won't win as many games. And that's what parents who don't know the sport are defining the coaching, the dollars spent, and the experience they are getting. They define it by winning. So, Pulisic, in this article, it's exceptional. It's over on Facebook Soccer Matters. I'm going to pull some more quotes from it again. Here's another one. He says, it really does frustrate me when I watch MLS. I see our best under-17 players who, again, are so talented and so capable. They're being rostered. He means they're just on a roster. They don't play. But then not being put on the field much to actually play. I watch that, and I just think about how I was given a chance, a real chance, and it changed my life. Why then are we seemingly hesitant to allow these other talents to blossom? Anyway, I'm not sure what the answers are to all these questions, but I still think they're worth asking. And I'm sure of this, the path to the U.S. winning a World Cup, it doesn't start with having more talent. It starts with developing the talent that we already have in the right way. So to that I say, do we need to incentivize MLS coaches? Why aren't MLS coaches using more young players? Why aren't they giving more opportunity? Are they fearful of using 17, 18, and 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds? Do we need to incentivize the teams that use younger players? Per se, let's say I'm going to throw something out here. 2,000 minutes and your team will get additional financial assistance or a contribution. I don't know what that is dollar-wise. Is that what we should do? Liga MX did it. Should we say each team has to play 20-year-olds and under for 2,000-plus minutes or 2,000 minutes minimum? Are these rules we should put in place? And do we need to continue to stockpile MLS with foreign talent that maybe isn't that great from the Caribbean? A lot of good Caribbean players, don't get me wrong. But I think at times we're bypassing some. I have a real fear what happens to these under-17 kids that were so exceptional in India and that showed us that they do have talent and they can be accelerated. And even some of the under-20s, are they getting enough opportunity? I know some teams are doing it, New York Red Bulls, RSL. But I got fear. Pulisic says it doesn't start with having more talent. It starts with developing the talent that we already have in the right way. This is an amazing article because he's 19. And in some ways, he's setting a standard of communication that's thoughtful, that's insightful, in a good way, that's very, very much filled with humility. But there is a huge piece of this that he basically says, I am one competitive mofo, and I want others to be like me. 713-780-3776. Let's go to the phone line. Alex, what's on your mind, Alex?
Man, I was going to call and talk about the Dynamo, but I guess what I really want to talk about is MLS. You kind of got me off on a tangent with that conversation you were just having. I think really one of the most important factors here is that I think is getting some discussion in soccer circles, but maybe not enough, is the idea that, you know, maybe we just need to mandate an amount of playing time to players under the age of 18. I know that I'm far from a nationalist, you know, by any means, but I think if you take a look at qualifying in CONCACAF for the last couple of cycles, and certainly in the Gold Cup, I think it's pretty widely held that the reason for the accelerated development of all of these countries, it has a lot to do with MLS, and that, you know, perhaps those countries are benefiting a little bit more from MLS than perhaps even we are, and I don't see any reason why a spot in a lineup can't be marked out for an under 17 or 18 player or you know, whatever the decision is that's made finally. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be one way or the other, but I definitely believe that, you know, a mandate of some kind would be an important step for Major League Soccer. What do you think?
Well, I just posed that question. I would say, what do our listeners think? 713-780-3776. I personally, I look at the under-17s, and I've got tomorrow night on the program, we're going to be on tomorrow again, John Hackworth, the under-17 coach who took the team in India. Very talented players. Some real potentials there. Josh Sargent. We can go on and on. There's a number of players there. Chris Goslin. Number of players. Durkin at D.C. I'm fearful of what's going to happen to these guys next. I'm not worried about Tim Weah. He's at PSG. I'm not worried about Sargent, who's going to end up at Werder Bremen. I don't know how you could manufacture making environments tougher in Major League Soccer. How do you do that? Because MLS, these MLS teams, and they're doing it in varying degrees, they are responsible for delivering and developing the elite players in this country. And that has to be those players getting the opportunity to get minutes in games. Do you make a rule that you know, 20 and under, you got to give 2,000 minutes every season? Do you incentivize teams to do that more? I think it's certainly something worth looking into. I think the first thing you do is you see how it worked in Liga MX. But we have our own unique challenges here from a player development standpoint. I would say our player development's not as mature as Mexico. There are real positives going on. But we definitely need to put our heads together. We need to allow people that maybe haven't been allowed a seat at the table to bring some of their ideas as well. Alex, thank you very much for the call. You can call back again if you want to talk Dynamo, because we will do that tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Hey, as host of Soccer Matters, I remind you, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Western Conference Final is here next Tuesday. Get out to BBVA Compass Stadium. See the Dynamo and Seattle. But most importantly, grab your friends in an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, and we will take a Bud Light break.
The biggest disappointment in my career, my young career, obviously. It's been a good one so far, and of course, biggest disappointment for me and, you know, as a team in the country. But we're definitely now, you know, with the Olympics and everything, we want to continue to improve our youth and just move forward with the country and kind of build up from there.
That was Christian Pulisic after the U.S. eliminated from the World Cup against Trinidad and Tobago. Head over to Facebook Soccer Matters because I pinned the article. It's an article from PlayersTribune.com. It's the Derek Jeter website, which actually takes the athlete's perspective. In some cases, I think they have ghostwriters, but this is all Pulisic. This article includes tremendous humility. This is all from a 19-year-old. Tremendous humility. It also has tremendous insight in a very mature fashion from, boy, Davey Arnold's got a nice family. This guy, I mean, this is, they just walked into studio here. These are the two of the best-looking kids I've seen. He's got a beautiful wife. Everybody looks incredibly healthy, and they're all originally from Nederland. Not everybody. Kansas City. That's right. From your days at Sporting KC. We're going to bring Davey on here in about 3-4 minutes here. But back to Pulisic. This article has maturity for a 19-year-old. This article has a huge dose of humility. But the one thing that sticks out, especially when you read the end of it, you hear how competitive this guy is. And here's what he said at the end. Quote, "I just want every U.S. soccer fan reading this to understand that no matter what decisions are made over the next couple of years, no matter what changes are implemented, no matter who the coach is or what the roster looks like, I'm going to be obsessed with winning, and I'm going to be obsessed with doing my part to help U.S. soccer get over the hump. Because, yeah, okay, we're not going to the World Cup." That's a statement right there. That's a born leader. I don't know if that came off the cuff or if that was a statement that might have been planned a little bit in there to test his teammates, but it is pretty, pretty spectacular. By the way, the Carlsberg Team of the Week, we have to give it to Denmark. They were down 1-0 to the Republic of Ireland. They scored 5 goals. They win 5-1. They're going to the World Cup. Carlsberg, probably the best beer you have ever had. But we have to give it to the Danes and the hat trick from Christian Eriksen, who was absolutely spectacular. All right, Davey, you ready? Come on, join me. Have a seat over here. We're on Facebook Live, so make sure you have your best clothes on. And we're going to have some fun. By the way, what's your daughter's name?
That's Peyton.
Peyton.
Yeah.
Come on over here. You want to sit here? And what's your son's name?
That's Brody.
Brody, come on over here. You want to sit with us? You guys can be on Facebook Live with us. Because these are the coolest. How you doing, buddy?
Say hi.
Hi.
You say hi?
All right. So we didn't mean to leave.
That's okay.
Mom out. Moms never get the credit they deserve. Moms never get the credit. Well, listen, first of all, this is a long time coming, so I'm glad you're up here in the studio. So just give us a quick synopsis on the entire season. And you know, this was a big rebuild. I mean, you came here new, part of a new staff under a new head coach. Yeah. Lot going on.
A lot going on, and we're glad that it's still going on. It's been a hectic year, you know, to think how far that the team has come since that first day of preseason and to see kind of what we have grown into now and what this team has become up to this point. It's been a special year, and we haven't had time to reflect on it fully, and none of us have because it's been so busy. Because our focus
you can't, right?
No, you can't. You don't have time.
You maybe don't want to.
You don't want to. I think there's obviously going to be a little bit of time for that once the season's done. But I think these guys are very much living in the moment of what we're doing right now, as the whole coaching staff is, and. The year, though, if I just look back on it briefly, it's had its ups and downs, but it's been pretty special, and we're excited we're still playing.
Davey Arno, Dynamo assistant coach, joining us in studio, had an excellent career in Major League Soccer. If you remember, he took the plunge into MLS out of West Texas State. I think it's not called West Texas State
West
anymore.
Texas A&M now. It used to be
Texas
State,
A&M. Yeah. The Aggies get control of everything. West Texas A&M, and you came out at a time where, look, it's a bit of a risk, putting your education on hold. You're not going to get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you kind of came through Major League Soccer in those early years when it was in danger of not even making it.
For sure.
And you've come to this point. So your lens is a very different one than a lot of people. And I must just take you into
how spectacular this climb has been, because I was, prior to you, you know, playing in high school stadiums, empty NFL. I'm still in shock to where it is at times.
As I am as well. I know you can fully appreciate it, and you know, I can appreciate it, and anybody who's been around the league, following the league, playing in the league, a part of the league for a long time, I think can understand just how truly, you know, spectacular the rise of this league and the sport in our country has been. You know, just since I was a player a couple of years ago, it seems like every year now, the way it's growing, when you see teams like Atlanta coming on board and with the new expansion teams coming out, it's the growth is it's off the charts right now, and it's special to be a part of it. You know, I know you probably, I'm sure you take a lot of pride in having been a part of this game for a long time now and a part of the league for a long time now, as you should, and I certainly do as well.
Take pride, and also I'm very fortunate. I've been able to get the opportunities that I've had, and you know, just kind of rise as the tide rose.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've been given wonderful opportunities by people, but I don't want to get into that. So one of the big hot topics I'm getting here today, and I kind of like this because it shows that Dynamo fans are on top of it. Mr. Mexican says, at Glendave Sock, are we going to have to worry about World Cup hangover with our Honduran players? So I'm sure you as a staff are concerned about reintegrating these guys. Where are they mentally, physically? Take us through the process, because it's a long flight home for these guys.
Right.
It's a quick turnaround. What does the staff do once these guys get back? And we're talking about Albert Elise from El Kioto, Boniac Garcia.
Yeah, it's not, the situation obviously is not ideal. You know, those guys are obviously, they're in a high stress environment. You know, you factor in the games, but now you factor in what those games mean, the stress that they're under, the travel that they're doing. It, you know, it's a lot. It's demanding in a lot of different ways, and you know, we understand that. I think the good thing is, it's not the first time they've done that this year. They've been gone quite a bit, so we've kind of had some experience with trying to reintegrate them, seeing where they're at. I know we're keeping track of what they're doing. Paul Caffrey, our fitness coach, is keeping track of what they're doing, you know, kind of fitness-wise, trying to, so that when they come back, we know where they're at, and we try and get them back involved as soon as we can. You wonder at times if, you know, you go from playing in such a big environment and such a big game, if you'll have a little bit of a hangover coming back here. But we haven't seen that with any of those guys this year, so I don't think it's a concern for us. You know, I think the way that they've gone about this year has been fantastic. They've obviously done a great job with their national team, and we expect them to again against Australia, and we expect them to come back and be a big part of things for our game.
77,000 people, so I don't know why, but, you know, I had scrolled through to see when the game was, and I saw 3 o'clock, and I was like, well, I might tape that one and watch it in the morning.
Yeah.
But unbelievably, I wake up at 2:55, wide awake.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't go back to sleep, so I decide to put the game on.
Yeah.
First couple minutes of the game, and I'm sure you and the staff were watching it.
Yeah.
Guy straight legs Albert Elise,
yeah.
And I'm going, oh, great.
Yeah.
I mean, because it had a lot of wow factor to it. The guy could have got sent off.
Right.
And fortunately, he came through it okay.
Yeah, you're always concerned. Anytime guys go away with their national teams, injury is always a concern. As it, you know, it's not just for us. It's for every team or every guy that goes to play. It's a concern. But you know, it's part of the game. We have no doubt those guys will be back and be ready to go.
How do you assess them when they come back mentally? I mean, are there things, is it just basically talking to them and feeling them out, seeing where they are? Because, look, they were one game away from going to the World Cup.
Right.
It's every soccer player's dream. It was your dream.
Right.
It's every kid who ever plays the game's dream. I mean, this is an emotional body blow.
Yeah. You know, I think you got to take your hat off to Wilmer with that stuff. Wilmer has done a fantastic job this year with those guys, and the communication that he has with them, I think he has a really good understanding of where they're at. So he, like I said, he's done a great job, not just that, in other areas as well, obviously, but I think he has a good relationship with them, and he has a good feel for where they're at physically and mentally as well.
How much of that is your job and for the assistants, you know, to talk to players, to find out what their specific needs are, or maybe prod them at the right time? You know, how much of your job is that?
Yeah, that's a lot of the job. It really is. you know, it's when you have that many different players and personalities and needs over a long course of a season, you need a lot of, you know, you need a lot of guys helping out. You know, I think myself and Michael as well, the other assistant, we try and help out in that area. Wilmer as much as we can. You know, Wilmer obviously knows and does a great job with all the players, but there's, you know, times when, you know, they maybe need to hear a little bit of a different voice on the side. And, you know, you try and pick your moments, the right time to do that. You know, I feel like as a player, that's something that I had a good vibe of when to do that. I felt that was something that I did well, and I've tried to take that same thing and kind of use that in sort of the coaching side of things. And, you know, I've tried to help in that way as much as I can.
How did you control your emotion? Because you were a very passionate player, but emotional control is a huge thing. Look at Toronto FC. Lack of emotional controls put them in a very dangerous situation, and it blew up at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Heading into the Columbus series, was there ever a point where you had to kind of work on that? And because I know I had to.
Yeah, you do.
With limited success.
Yeah. But. You know, Glenn, soccer is an emotional game. Mm-hmm. It's an emotional game. And when you want to win and you want to compete as a player, things like that will happen, like what has happened for Toronto. It's they're obviously not in a good situation. But being on this side now, I'm trying, you know, you have to change a little bit, you know, you can't be as emotional at times. And, you know, I think with age, you also learn a little bit more of, you know, control of your emotions at times. But
this is fascinating. I'm looking at you talk and I'm looking at your daughter and her eyes are glued on you, listening to every word.
This is the most she's listened to me in like a week. So it's good.
I mean, I wish I had this. Well, we do have it on Facebook Live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible. But it's just a nice moment. I've never had that moment in a radio studio, so it's cool.
Thanks for letting them come up here.
I'm glad everybody's up here. I guess I thought it said in your contract, Davey Arno will do no interviews without the whole family being there. So let me take you back to the rotation policy now.
Yeah.
Not back to it. Let me introduce you to the rotation policy. It's very different than the way you played under Bob Gansler and a lot of the teams you've been on.
Mm-hmm.
From the outside, I would think it's a hard thing to pull off because you got to keep a lot of personalities, egos, everybody happy. The one thing I know as a soccer player, a former player, is that you like to know where you stand. You know, even if it's not what you want to hear, you'd rather know where you stand and not be left in limbo.
Right.
Yet with this rotation policy, I do think it leaves some question marks with players. It certainly is a hard team to scout.
Yeah,
and understand who the 11 is, because I've had a blast this year calling the games because I can't pick the starting 11 half the time, which, you know, I could do it with my eyes closed the 3 years prior.
Right.
So it has made it interesting. Is that challenging? And does that make your role as an assistant coach a little bit different? Because, you know, some nights somebody's not feeling very good. Mm-hmm. You probably don't want them to feel very good either. Because that says a little bit about them.
Yeah, you don't expect any player who's not involved, you don't expect them to be happy about it. That's normal, and that's going to happen on any team or any squad you're a part of. You know, we've had, when you look at it, I think we've had maybe 34 or 35 different lineups this year. I don't know if there's any – I've never been a part of a team like that. Yeah. I can't say there's any team in the league that's done that this year. But, you know, I think – it's worked for us. We were actually...
And that's mostly your front five, right?
Exactly. Our back four have been pretty predictable.
Outside injury.
Yeah, exactly. But when you... Funny story, we were playing Chicago, and before the game, we were going out for warm-ups. Eric Garrick, who played in Chicago, he's now an assistant there. He played in Columbus. I spent a little time with him in Kansas City. He was there for a preseason, so I got to know Eric many years ago. So I was talking to him before the game a little bit, telling him good luck, and he said, man, you guys are impossible to scout. That's exactly what you said. He said, why? He said, we never know who's going to play. The lineup's always changing, and, you know, that's a good thing for us, right?
Yeah.
But I think it says a lot to, you know, when you go over a course of the season, you need to have guys who are ready to play at any moment. You need to have guys fresh, which I think we have. You know, it also keeps guys on their toes. You know, listen, I was a player, you played. You want to play every week. You want to play 90 minutes every week. And if you had a different mentality, you wouldn't be playing at this level. It can be tough to manage at times, sure, with guys are going to be disappointed and going to be out of the lineup. You know, you look at a Dylan Rimmett. you know, goes from being out of the 18 to playing such a huge role for us in the last game. Look at a Jahlil Anibaba. You know, hasn't seen a ton of time. Has a great attitude. Gets his chance and does well. You know, there's been guys all throughout the year, Andrew Wingers, Memos, guys that, you know, have come in and gone out. And Romel Kyoto, he's not starting every game. You know, we've had a lot of rotation this year, but I think it has paid off for us and it's worked for us. So we're gonna stick to that.
Before we go to break, do you think the team's fresher because of it?
I think so. You know, I think you look at teams now around the league who are consistently playing the same lineups and they're playing open cups, and they might be, you know, once CONCACAF starts again, if you're playing the same guys week in, week out, it's a grind. And I think you see towards the end of the season, physically, guys aren't at their best. And to be good in the postseason, physically, you need to be at your best.
All right, more with Davey Arno. We're going to take a quick break here. Do you have another 7 or 8 minutes after this commercial break? And then what? We off to dinner or what?
Yeah.
Arno family?
Yeah.
Where are you guys going tonight?
We're
going
to go eat pho. We've never eaten pho before.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, we're going to check out.
You're already a thin
here.
Family. You guys can go eat burgers. It's a great-looking family. They're all in studio, Davey Arno and family. More to talk about with Davey when we come back. A little bit more on that rotation policy and how it works for certain players. We'll talk a little bit about Seattle. More to come here. Before we go to break here, I'm just looking for my Bud Light Reed here. Why do I need a Bud Light Reed? They've been supporting me for years. They helped get soccer on mainstream radio here in Houston, Texas. Bud Light did. Nothing goes better together than great friends than a Bud Light. Dynamo against Seattle in the Western Conference Final. It'll start Tuesday. First leg is here. Bud Light wants you to be there. But most importantly, grab your friends. Grab an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. If you want to come and join the party here with Davey Arno and I, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, Davey Arno and family. It's not a band. They're in studio.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for the Flat Houston. It's theflathouston.com. It's my good friend DJ Sun. It is a place that just serves up local national DJs. Great spot near the Montrose area. Theflathouston.com. It's the home of the best frozen mojitos in Houston. And DJ Sun sometimes sits in there and does a set or two. But they bring in national DJs and local DJs. So great spot. It is theflathouston.com. And I got to get over to test that best frozen mojito in Houston. By the way, coming up second hour, Eddie Robinson will be sitting in here. He's already in studio. He's raring to go. He's already come in and complained about having to drive here and quickly mentioned something about a hamburger and food. So he's over there dancing with Davey Arno's kids right now. So second hour is going to be good. Eddie will join us. So back to Davey here, and then we'll get a couple more minutes with Davey Arno, Dynamo assistant, before we head off here and let them go have some dinner tonight. All right, so what's it like working for Wilmer? What type of coach is he? Autocratic, democratic? How much responsibility does he give? Because we've heard stories, assistants get a lot with this manager, not a lot with this. What's it like?
It's been good. I've really enjoyed this year. You know, I didn't know Wilmer at all before I came in here. You know, I'd obviously heard of Wilmer, and he had coached at Chivas and had played against his teams, but that was the extent of me knowing Wilmer. You know, it's been a really good experience for me. You know, I came in here now and now as a part of a, you know, I was on staff last year in D.C., but I had transitioned over from being a player, you know, so being on staff with a whole group of guys that I had played with, you know, it was, you know, it's hard to make that transition. And coming over here, it was a completely new experience, and Wilmer has been really good for me personally.
Where's the line of separation for you between you and the players? In other words, You know, you can still get in there and play. You're fresh off your playing career. What type of assistant are you? Because some managers want you to be really, really close to the players. Others want you to keep, you know, some level of distance.
Yeah.
Where's the line of separation?
Yeah, there obviously is a separation. And, you know, for me, I miss being a part of the locker room. That was a great part of being a player. And you're not a part of that anymore. But I think, I continue to have a good rapport with the players. I think Wilmer likes that I do that. He hasn't said otherwise, so that's good. But, you know, it's, I have a good rapport with the players, and I feel like, you know, I want to feel like they can talk to me still. Even though I'm sort of on the other side. Andrew Winger, I played with in Montreal, so that, you know, sure, the relationship changes. But, you know, I try and be an assistant that the players, I want them to feel like that they can talk to me, if they need to.
Do they come to you?
Yeah,
sometimes?
Of course.
With problems, to air things out?
Yeah. And, you know, Wilmer does a good job of talking to all the players. But, you know, I was a player, and there's just certain things that maybe you want to go through the assistant coach for sometimes, that you just need to vent to sometimes. And I like to be that guy when it's needed. I don't have a problem with that. And Wilmer has allowed us to do that. And for me personally this year, in my growth as a coach, because I'm still obviously new at this, my growth in this side of things has been fantastic for me.
He's Davey Arno, Dynamo assistant, joining us next Tuesday. Houston Dynamo against Seattle Sounders, Western Conference first leg championship. Dynamo two games away from the MLS Cup. It has been an incredible turnaround here. Davey Arno, a part of the staff. All right, so the obvious question I'm going to ask after that is a real easy one. How many guys come to you talking about and or possibly complaining about playing time? Is that one of the big topics discussion for
you? It happens too, and like we said before, when you have a rotation going and guys coming in and out of the lineup and in and out of the 18, you know, we've had guys starting this year, and the next week they're not on the bench, which is not an easy situation for anybody, and you wouldn't expect players to be happy about it. None of us would. Anybody who played the game, you would not be happy with it, because you want to be playing every week. And, you know, guys have come and had issues, and, you know, but I think overall, considering how much change and rotation has happened, the overall attitude of the group and the mentality of the players, even if they're disappointed in the moment, has been fantastic. And I think that has been a big part of the reason why we've been so successful this year, because we have guys that are fully bought in, and Wilmer's done a good job of having everybody buy into what we're doing, and the players have seen success from it, and so it's easier to buy in when you have success. But I really do think that's a big reason why we've been good this year.
But that's also why you guys as a staff are so vitally important, because you do have to get ultimate buy-in, and a manager can't do it himself. He's got to have his staff to help him.
And you have to know moments and understand moments when to go and talk to guys. If you see guys that are maybe struggling a little bit, maybe guys who are playing and you need to go speak to them individually. You have to have a feel for that. And like I said, I think that's, personally, that's one of the things that I think I did a good job of as a player, and I try and do the same thing now as a coach, because like you said, it's impossible for Wilmer to do that at all times with 27 to 30 players, however many we have. It's hard for him to do that by himself, so you have to find the right moments to lift guys up when they need it individually, and really help drive that good environment.
This is great insight, and I think the fans really love this, because there is a little bit of a circle the wagons feeling around you guys this year, close practices, things like that. Rotation policy, I'm going to take you back, because I think some players can fit into it better than others, and I give all the kudos to the guys you mentioned, Jahlil Anibaba, Dylan Remick, guys that, you know, don't play for a number of games and then come in and play a wonderful 90 minutes. This is incredibly difficult, and I'm not sure even the fans always appreciate that, because when you're out of the limelight and you're not getting real games, it's tough. And then to be thrust in there and to come through and play very good soccer, we've seen that happen. But a guy like Tomas Martinez, who obviously is a rhythm guy,
yeah,
he wants the ball as much as possible at his feet. He's a dictator with a ball at his feet. He's for an sure. orchestrator. The style of play and maybe the rotation policy phrase that maybe a little bit. Has it been hard for him to adjust to it, because he seems like the ultimate teammate.
He since Tomas has come in, he has been fantastic. His mentality, obviously he's a very good player. We see that. He's a talented player. But his mentality, his willingness to be a good teammate, if you watch the amount of ground that he covers, we have to ask him to not do as much at times because he's running past players to help defensively, and not that you ever want to tell people not to defend, but you know,
he's taking away from his strengths.
Exactly, but I think that for me, that's a strength of his. I think Wilmer says it all the time, we're not a team of a superstar. We are a team. We're so good because we are a team. And Tomas has fit really well into that. You know, you talk about the rhythm thing. Can it hurt somebody's rhythm? Yeah, you know, it can a little bit, but I don't think we've seen it this year. I think we've seen guys handle the situation very well. And, you know, I wonder if, you know, if I was a player, if I could have handled that same situation as well. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
these guys have done a great job.
Have you put yourself in that scenario saying if you were on this team and maybe you were in and out of the lineup based on opponents, based on a rotation policy where a team was going to spread its minutes out so they were going to remain fresher, yeah, and all the other things that come with it in a positive way. How would you have handled it?
See, I want to say, oh, I would have been great. I would have handled it. I want to
maybe
say
we
that.
Maybe you should ask your wife. She's in the studio.
She might give a better answer. But, you know, I'm not sure. I was never in that situation. And I know that I always wanted to be on the field. And I know all of these guys do. And, you know, again, when guys there's going to be moments when guys aren't happy. It's part of the process. It's part of the season. But overall, the response to it has been very good.
I think the Dynamo or the underdog. Everybody's positioning the Dynamo as the underdog.
Yeah, I think we've been the underdog all year, to be honest with you. And I think when we got in the playoffs, we were the underdog, and that suits us just fine. We don't like to focus too much on that. I think one of the good things I think with our group is we have so many new players and a lot of guys who are so new to this league. Naive is not the right word, but they don't understand just how difficult this league can be, how hard it is to get in the playoffs, and then once you're in the playoffs, just how hard it is to advance to where we are now. This is a new experience for a lot of these guys, which I think has helped us. I think we went into one of the toughest places to play in the league in Portland, and the way that our guys responded and the performance they put on, it was pretty special. And you know, I think it helps that they haven't had bad experiences in this league because we've all been through seasons where it's not as easy and it doesn't go as well. But a lot of those guys haven't had that yet.
Hasn't the story here at the end of the year really been about the collective defending of this team?
Absolutely,
in the playoffs?
Yeah, for sure. And Wilmer has stressed that, and he's continued to remind the guys, you know, of the reasons we've been so good, and it's because, you know, he said it. It's because we have been a better team. You know, you look at other teams individually with your Valeris and your Nagbys and your Laderos coming up and your Clint Dempseys. You know, they have big superstars and big playmakers, and not to say that we don't, we do. But I think the way that we have collectively, the guys have bought into the team concept has been what has made us good.
You know, it's been a remarkable season. First of all, the overhaul of the roster, from an entertainment value, certainly at home, it's been spectacular. You know, it's a 9 out of 10, which, you know, playing style wise, it was a very slow, laborious watch here for a number of years. You hit a home run with that. You got diversity that reflects the city. You started the season having real balance problems, even though you were winning games. You then kind of nurtured that back in.
Yeah.
You got keynoted as a team that's a counterattacking team with a lease in Kyoto, yeah, right? And then here in the playoffs, now you transformed into this great collective defending unit, which everybody was critical of earlier in the year. It really has been kind of a really cool sort of morphing into
evolved.
Differing things.
We have evolved.
That's the word I was looking for.
For sure. We have
That's
evolved.
That's a West Texas A&M.
We have evolved as a group. You know, we've even said that, you know, when you look, when we were talking about the Portland game again, but when you look at the way that we played in Portland when we were there earlier in the year and see that performance and now look to how we've evolved and some of the responsibilities and roles have changed, and look at our performance in the playoffs, it's, you know, that's a different team on the road. And I think once, especially on the road, I think once we found our way and we understood what worked for us and our group, I think we've been very good since maybe back to the New York City game on the road when we had a we drew in New York City, and since then I don't know if we've lost on the road.
All right, before I let you go, am I talking to a future head coach in Major League Soccer one day?
Oh, I mean, I'm not sure. Of course, I think you do this. It's always, in your mind that you want to do that one day. And for sure, I would love to do that one day. But I'm very happy with what I'm doing right now, and I'm learning a great deal. And I feel very fortunate that I'm getting to be a part of this staff and a part of this club.
Davey Arno in studio. Davey, thank you very much for coming up tonight.
Man.
Great interview. This is one of our top 10 this year. We appreciate you coming in studio. To your wife and your beautiful children, thank you very much. And, hey, you know, there's a good reason. We got good Vietnamese food, so go have some pho.
All right, we're going to go. Thanks.
All right, thank you. That's Davey Arno. We'll take a break. Speaking of food, a guy who loves food coming up, Eddie Robinson, will join me. Davey Arno, the assistant of the Houston Dynamo. Dynamo again. It's next Tuesday. It's a sellout now. I guess you can get tickets. Where do you get them, Victor? On, like, secondary areas. There's still tickets floating around out there, so... If you work hard enough and you're willing to pay a little bit more, you'll get in. But for me, the real challenge is going to be who's going to actually be in seats. And that's the challenge I put out there. It's hashtag butts in seats. Dynamo against Seattle next Tuesday at BBVA Compass Stadium. I'm going to be there. I'm not missing it for the world. We'll take a break. More to come.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.